Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. It's Diane Thomas, your host. This is Saturday morning, and so we are continuing our series on tithing, giving, and what the scriptures really say about that. Hopefully by now you've caught on to the clarity that is in the scriptures about who should be giving, and that it does not include you and I. So we are moving forward with then, if we don't tithe, if we don't, you know, under obligation or under the idea that this is something God has told us to do in the scriptures, then what do we do? And if you want to catch up, I encourage you to check out the website. We have the full archives are still available there, as well as the on both the Blog Talk Radio profile page and our homepage at wecanprepare.org. We have available a downloadable PDF. It's quite extensive and lengthy, but it should be quite easy to read as far as if you really want to get into this subject and study and make it real to you. Because it's not something, this is not, we're not replacing one rule set of rules with another set of rules. And unfortunately, that's really what happens so often in Christian faith. We say, and we're taught, that we're not under law, we're under grace. But the same approach to Christianity, to life, is taken. In other words, under law, there were a certain set of rules and standards that had to be met in order to have a relationship with God. What organized religion and even just a misunderstanding, what very often happens is a new set of rules and standards are merely substituted for the old rules and called grace. Our approach, and hopefully yours as well, is that the distinction between law and grace is not the rules and regulations, the content of what those are, but relationship. Under law, you are doing something to either gain or maintain the relationship. Under grace, you are doing because you have already attained a permanent relationship with God that cannot be broken. You have been changed into being in relationship with God permanently, eternally, 100%, so that all your needs are now met by that relationship. So you've woken up. You are now a son of God. You are now a joint heir with Christ, with Jesus himself, with his son. You are a prince in that kingdom. You're not a worker bee in the kingdom. You're not a servant or a slave or even a friend. You are a son. We are now learning how to be a son, how to be a son of God in the kingdom. There's only one person who can teach you how to do that. We can learn from others. We can learn from experience. We can learn from others' mistakes and hopefully our own as well. But there's only one person who can teach you how to be a son, and that's God. So instead of evaluating and developing and revising and editing our standards and rules by going from teaching to conference to what's the latest thing to books, it's instead, God, how am I doing? God, is there anything I'm missing here? What are you saying about this? Is this something I should be paying attention to? And when we discover that everything we need, including instruction and guidance and encouragement and motivation, is all within us now, we can let those other things fall away. We don't need to get angry at others. We don't need to get regretful or resentful that we wasted so much time or that we were deceived or manipulated. Now, odds are those are all true. But we don't let that be our focus. Instead, we focus on what is in our hands now. And this is one of the reasons we want to keep our head when talking about tithing and giving. Because we can easily get very angry that we've been told that to give to the church as a service to the Lord, the first 10%, and we start adding up how much money we've been giving to the church because we were manipulated to do that. And we can get very angry. Now, that's a normal response, because when you realize that, when you realize that you've been taught error, and based on that, you've acted to your own detriment, that what you've been doing and being taught wasn't for your good, that's a normal response. But don't stay there. Keep going. It's not about what you've lost. It's what about now? What have you gained? You've gained the whole kingdom. Now that you've let go of tithing, you are now free to give. And I'm not saying God's going to restore all the money you've given, or that, you know, he's going to punish those who taught you wrong. Most of the time, they don't know any better. The point is now. It is you have the authority and the responsibility and the freedom and the constriction to hear what God is telling you and do it. And oh my, when it comes down to that simplicity, we're no longer obligated. We are no longer have an excuse. I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. I think this is what I'm supposed to do here. You know, God, teach me what I'm supposed to do here. And then we go about looking for a teaching or someone to rely on. Or we go from one church to another. Or we go to another conference or another book or another CD. Or we look for another feeling. When it comes down to that simplicity, that line within us can be so clearly drawn that it can change our whole life dramatically. and it can change not only how we see ourselves, but how we see others. And again, that's normal. Our job is not to correct anyone else. God may use you to correct others. That's his job. That's his responsibility. But he didn't free you so you could slap around the jailer. He freed you so you can learn to live free. Now again, he may use you to point out to others the freedom you found. But that's really what you want to emphasize, is the freedom you found, where you can now go to God himself and say, God, what do you want me to do here? Or when he says, I want you to give to this person, you are then free to give with no strings attached. And you get to enjoy it because you know God's going to take care of you, because it's all yours anyway. Isn't that amazing? We have to learn how to rule and reign and take the authority and responsibility now. People often think that if you are fully grace-filled, that your full reliance is on grace, that you will fall into license, that you will then just do whatever you want to. Well, it's the exact opposite. When you realize that every situation, every circumstance that God has created for you is for your training, and he wants to talk to you about it, we come under greater scrutiny, except it's within ourselves. We develop the habit of, God, what do you want to do in this situation? What are you trying to say here? Is this you, Lord, drawing my attention? And when we see we don't need to wait for another teaching or another, we don't need to wait for understanding. It is simply a matter of recognizing his voice and responding. And he teaches us how to hear his voice, how to test what we hear, that we are free to make mistakes. He brings us through what we need in every given situation. But that then puts that authority and responsibility back within us, because God is not another. We are now in him, and we are now born of his spirit. So we are of the same spirit. And we are already fully cooperating with him in our spirit. So there's no excuses anymore. Our responses to seeing where we've been, this is true not just in this area, but in the other area. Any other area where we find freedom, very often we didn't even know we were in bondage. So that when we do experience freedom, the bondage is made clear. And that can be very painful. That can be humiliating, and we feel rejected and manipulated, and our trust is broken. But guess what? That's what God wants. He does not want you to have your faith and your trust in people when it comes to these spiritual matters. We are to judge. We are to judge those around us. And this is where people get so confused about, no, you know, that's, you know, judge not. Well, that's judge not their motives. Why they do something is none of your business. What they do is. So in this situation, if, for instance, you've been in a church or in a teaching that has taught you that you need, God requires you, in order to be blessed, you need to be giving 10% off the top to this church, and we can do a direct deposit even, or direct withdrawal, anything to make it convenient for you. Well, when you find out that's not true, it's not your business to go, okay, well, they, you know, they were just doing this because they needed the money, or they don't even know God, or they just are trying to control and manipulate and build up their own little kingdom. Why they taught you this is none of your business. Your response is, they taught me wrong. What do I need to do to correct what I've been taught? If this is wrong, what is right? So let's not get caught up in the change that must come as we are free. This is not going to be the first time. This is not going to be, I mean, the only time. This is just the first time where you will look back and see the bondage that you were in because you are now free of it. And yes, in any situation, God may use you, but that's not why he freed you. That's not why he freed you. He freed you because he loves you. Not so you could reach out to others, not so you could be example, not so you could share what you've learned with others or enter the ministry or have a great testimony or glorify God or any of those reasons. God freed you because he loves you. He wants you free. That's his motivation. That's his bottom line. Now, all these other things may be consequences of that, perks, bonuses, but that's not why he did it. He did it for you. Because he wants you free. Any area where you are in bondage is someplace that he can't pour himself into. And he's not going to let that stop him. He breaks our bonds so he can be who he is in us. And set us free. So we can receive everything, the eternal life that we're already experiencing in our spirit. When God's rocking the boat, don't try to stop it. Don't take it upon yourself to rock the boat. That's not your job. But if God's rocking it, don't stop it. Let him go. Let him rock the boat. You may be blamed for it. That's fine. It's not going to be the last time that happens. But enjoy, recognize your freedom and enjoy it. With freedom comes the responsibility and the authority of living as a free person. So, back to our specifics in tithing versus giving. We're talking now about how then do we give? And again, the scriptures are very clear. Paul is very clear. If that's what you're going to use as your starting point, your standard, as what is being taught in the scriptures, Paul is very clear. And we've already looked at how some of the teachings that we go by were misconceptions and have been used. And, you know, if you're really interested, I really encourage you to study this and how long and who really started the whole idea of tithing as a Christian. It would be very surprising to many of you, especially if you consider yourself a Protestant of any kind. Charismatic, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Methodist, whatever your denominational background, it would be very surprising for you to find out who came up with the whole concept of tithing. It wasn't always done. It was definitely not always done. It became an institutional method at a certain given time. And I encourage you to, if that's something you're interested in, checking it out for yourself. So how do we give? And we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians 9, 1 through 15. And kind of left off in the middle of the section there. And just so we can get a running start, I'm going to go back and read the first part as well. The bottom line here is that we are directed to give as we purpose in our heart. 2 Corinthians 9, 1 through 15. Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. In other words, this church had written to Paul or sent a word to him that they had a gift ready for him to bring to others in need. And he had, as he continued his travels, and mentioned these other churches' needs, especially the church in Jerusalem, and places where there were drought and famine, where they had need within the body of Christ. He pointed to this church and said, they have already taken up such a great amount and are being generous. And it stirred them up. He used them as a testimony and as a witness. And why he's writing them is to make sure that it's going to be ready. That they have, he didn't want to have to get there and then find out that all the pledges and the promises the people had made, they intended to do it, but they hadn't acted on their intent. So this tells us about the distinction between intentions and actions. When God tells you to give, give. Don't wait for a convenient time. Don't wait for some magic time. Do it when he says. Verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, this is used very often as a way to motivate people to tithe. That what you sow, you shall reap. If you tithe sparingly, God can't bless you. But that's not what it says. Paul is equating sowing and giving. When you sow something in a field, let's look at the illustration for a second. You have the ground prepared and you throw out the seed expecting it to bring forth a harvest. It's your field. It's not somebody else's field. You don't sow in someone else's field. It's your field. You sow in your own field. You harvest your own field. You tend your own field. You protect your own field. You don't sow in your on your neighbor's property. So giving is part of your own nature. No one has to know. In fact, in most cases, it's best that no one else does know. But you know that you are giving at the right time, at the right place, because you are experiencing your new nature as a giver flowing through you. Remember, giving is your new nature. God's nature, basic nature, at its essence, at its core, is giving. God created you and I, this earth, all of what we understand right now, which is less than we'll understand tomorrow. So to prepare a place for him to pour himself into. His creativity, his holiness, his abundance, it's his love is expressed in giving. When we give out of our new nature, we are making more room to be able to receive from him. When we give of our time, when we give of ourselves, when we give of whatever God says to give, when we give up our beliefs, when we give up the things that we were relying on, that frees up that area then to be able to receive from God his life. Now that's already in your spirit. But we can see how when we give out of our nature, his nature flows through us. And we are first partakers of his nature in our spirit. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He will take care of those in need, whether through you or through someone else, is up to him. We follow through on what he gives to us and recognize it's not the giving, it's not the taking care of someone else's needs, it's the expression of being who we are now. And so if we know who we're giving to, fine. If we don't, fine. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, we've talked about before about there's going to be times when you want to give. And God wants us to want to give. And so we give when we want to give. We say, God, I want to give this person, you know, $5. Or I want to do this for this person. Give this person my car. Or give this person the coat off my back. Is that okay? And he may say no. And he may say yes. Either way, you are expressing your new nature. And that is what will reap, that's where you'll reap the harvest of eternal life now. So we'll pick it up there next Saturday. Again, we didn't get far, but hopefully we're addressing some of the issues that are coming up. So if you've got any questions, get in touch with me at Diane@WeCanPrepare.org. Check out the site, WeCanPrepare.org. And thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great weekend.